Hallelujah, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Hallelujah. Amen. You may be seated. Few things in this world are as horrible as the desecration of a grave or the remains of a loved one. It is exactly what Mary Magdalene felt as she came to the tomb that morning and found the tomb open. It had been sealed, there had been a guard set, and yet it was open. She doesn't investigate further. She runs and tells the disciples immediately. And of course, then we have the story of the foot race, where John, the youngest, beats Peter, the eldest, to the tomb. But Peter, of course, would not be outdone, for he enters the tomb first while John waits just outside. They both see the burial cloths, but there is no body to be found. The text mentions that John believed something, and then it talks about how they did not understand yet. Peter and John go back to their homes. But Mary stays weeping at the tomb. She loved her Lord, and now he was gone. Not just dead, but even missing. She sees the angels. She hears their question, but she does not gain any hope from them. She sees Jesus, but she doesn't recognize him. She is still believing the lie that natural reason had taught her. The experience of us and every other human being, that death is death and that is the end. The body of Jesus must have been stolen because Jesus is still dead. Despite all that had been said, all that Jesus had taught about rising after 3 days, no one seemed to really understand it. Not Peter, not John, not Mary. That is life without the resurrection. It's a life you see all around you today, among the unbelievers that fill our city, fill our nation. It's a life that is empty. A life that is only meaningful with self-determined meaning here and now. It's a life that when death comes, that's it. There's no reason for hope, just weeping. And no matter how hard you try to avoid it, death will indeed come. And whatever a human mind tries to come up with on its own, it will still always end in death. That's what sin has worked. Death. No one can avoid it. It indeed is something that's looming over all humanity. And even when the risen Jesus is right in front of you, if you are only thinking with your human mind about things, you will still be in despair. Because the mind cannot comprehend that which faith believes. Experience often does not teach us what faith believes. This is the plain and simple fact of it sometimes. But our Lord Jesus would not have Mary left with just the thoughts of her mind, just with the experience of death, what it had taught her. No, he didn't rise to leave you with the despair of a resurrectionless life either. He speaks to her. He calls her by name. And once he calls her by name, faith stirs. And because of his life-giving, faith-creating word, she now believes and she recognizes him for who he is, resurrected and all. And she wants to cling to him out of faith and love. The despair and fear and hopelessness, they've all left. And there's only joy remaining. And then our Lord says some more things that are even greater still. Jesus teaches the benefit and the use of the resurrection. He teaches the point of all of this, all of what you heard last Sunday, last Thursday, on Friday. Why do we bother with all of these church celebrations, all of these church services, all the extra devotion to the Word of God? He says it in only a few words. He tells Mary, go and tell my brothers, brothers, that I am ascending to my Father and to your Father, to my God and to your God. My brothers, there is such a significance to that phrase, that in that word alone, brothers, there are countless sermons that could be preached. He does not say, go to those deserters, those deniers, those doubters, those cowards, those untrustworthy former friends. He doesn't say any of that. He calls them brothers, his brothers. That is the truth of the resurrection. Jesus raises us to the point that we are his brothers and his sisters. We are his family. He doesn't regard us as how we've acted or what we've deserved, because we've all been cowards to confess the name of Jesus aright. Instead, of course, he regards us as he wants to regard us, as he worked to regard us, as he suffered in order to regard us, as he rose in order to regard us. He regards us according to the lens of that cross and the tomb, brothers, sisters. Can you imagine a more joyful title to be called by Jesus? Brothers. His brothers and his sisters, he taught, are those who do the work of God, who do the will of the Father. That is to say, those who believe in him, who seek to do the Father's will, whose lives are lived out in another kingdom, not like this world. And more than that, he tells them that his Father, of course, is their Father. That God is not your enemy. God is not anything but your Father. The Father of our Lord Jesus Christ is now counted as your Father as well. It is as if Jesus said, go and tell my disciples who deserted me on the field of battle and who are hiding even now for fear, those men who deserve eternal punishment and condemnation, tell them that my resurrection has happened for their benefit. That in my resurrection, I have made it so that my Father is their Father and my God is their God. And the same is true for you. Jesus does not look at you according to your sins. He does not regard you and give you a title based upon your sinfulness. But he does so according to his sacrifice, according to his resurrection. That you are part of the family of God. That by the resurrection of Jesus, you can approach the Father as confident as Jesus approaches the Father. That you have as much comfort and refuge in the Father as Jesus Christ himself has. That he is your Father. And according to what Jesus says, you can call God your Father. You can call him your God. And here are the pronouns that matter, the possessive pronouns of faith, that he is yours. That you have every right to do so by the right of what Christ has done. And you may do the same way that Jesus does, because Jesus has said so. And that changes everything. It changes your today. It changes tonight at home. It changes tomorrow. That you do not have to be left in despair or the heartaches or the loneliness of this world, the selfish, fallen world. You don't have to deceive yourself into thinking that you're doing everything well or redefine the Word of God to make it seem like you can do what He tells you. You don't have to be alone because Jesus is your brother. And God is your Father. That Jesus is that brother who does not fail, who is never unfaithful, who always keeps His promises, and has Himself overcome even death. That means that, of course, if death awaits you today, tonight, tomorrow, 10 years from now, 10 decades from now, death can't have you. Jesus is raised from the dead, and He is your brother. And the Father who raised Him from the dead is your Father. The tomb is no longer a marker for sin's victory over you. It's a marker of Jesus' victory over death. That Jesus owns it now. The reproach of His people is gone. And He has said, you are His brothers. And that where He has gone, you shall go as well. And you can do so knowing full well that the Father will take you there. Through death, into life. That empty graves are your future. That you are brothers and sisters of Jesus. That God the Father who raised Jesus from the dead is your Father and your God. That as He did for the Son, He will do also for you, because Jesus has risen from the dead and ascended unto Him. Mary got over that despairing and dead-end human reasoning by hearing the word of Jesus. He spoke to her. He called her by name. He's done the same for you. There is in the baptismal rite a strange question, how are you named? But there is a significance to it, that there you are given your Christian name. There our Lord places His name on you. And here the Spirit, of course, reminds us through the prophet Isaiah, and he says, but now thus says the Lord, He who created you, O Jacob, He who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you, I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. For I am the Lord, your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. Jesus has called you by name. He has stirred your faith in Him to look past what your senses can sense, what your experience wants to try to teach you, and what your mind can understand. You are to live by faith in His word, His promises. He has claimed you as His own by His word and His promises. You are His brothers. You are His sisters. And His Father is your Father. And His God is your God. And that He has risen, and you have this Heavenly Father. Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen.
Amen. Please rise. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.